Today's program is dedicated to all U.S. military personnel serving throughout the world.
Live from the Veterans Radio Studios on the Ave Maria Network in Ann Arbor, Michigan, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Bob Gould.
Oh, hello out there, Veterans Radio audience personnel and folks out there throughout the world that are listening to us on veteransradio.net, our website, or on the Ave Maria Network. Dot com. That's a dot com. So when you go to Ave Maria Network to listen to the program in the future, if you happen, you're just going to have to click on Listen Live, and it'll be the live program because our program is live right here from beautiful Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is Bobby Gould. That's right. E3PFC, Robert C. Gould, U.S. Military, 1st Infantry Division, 101st Airborne. Yeah, all my trooper friends out there. I do want to say a couple things. There is no Ustream today. No Ustream. So we're going to be delaying that for at least a couple of weeks to see if we can get all the technical information and all the little bugs up to speed. Today's program, we're going to be replaying the program that we pre-recorded on March the 5th. It's with Sergeant David Hack. Sergeant Hack is at U.S. Wings in Hudson, Ohio. He's going to be talking about his time in Vietnam and his whole military career, interviewed by Gary Lilly previously. But before that, I'd like to now go to Mr. Bob Crudy. Now, Mr. Crudy is Vice President, Sales of Marketing in U.S. Wings, and he's going to be talking about the rally down there in Hudson, Ohio, that will be part of the U.S. Wings, oh, what should we say, get-together. Welcome to all Vietnam vets on the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Vietnam War. Mr. Bob Crudy from U.S. Wings, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Morning, Bob. How are you?
In a rainy day, I guess I could be okay. They're going to have the spring game. Are they having the spring game down there in Ohio State today?
You know what? Right now, all we care about is the Cleveland Indians.
Okay. I bet that changes in September. I know. I've been in your office, and I've seen all the Buckeye, but that's okay. We have got Bob Crudy here, Vice President of Sales and Marketing. U.S. Wayne's going to be talking about right now. Bob, what's the latest on that weekend, May 21st?
Well, you know, due to increasing level of excitement from all over the country, we've decided to expand our rally from Saturday, May 21st, to include Friday, the 20th, and Sunday, the 22nd. Even by concluding the day with a mass on our grounds by our local priest on in front of the chief, just like they did back during the various conflicts our military served in. So we're very, very excited. The level of excitement is growing by day. Calls and notes and emails that are coming in are really, really real.
Now, Bob, who's invited to this rally?
We've invited all the Vietnam veterans, their families, our local community. We've invited every member from the VFW, the American Legion, AMVETS, Rolling Thunder, Patriot Guard from the five-state area surrounding Ohio. And we've had a tremendous response from all of them. Right now, we've had our latest excitement is that the USAREC, which is the United States Army Recruiting Command from Cleveland, is one of our main sponsors that's going to be coming down. And we're going to have multiple displays provided by them. The United States Coast Guard is coming down. And as the day goes, as I said, the weeks go by, we're getting more and more involvement from the local support in Ohio, and we're very, very excited.
I know, and we are only 4 weeks away. So this does begin on Friday the 20th. Friday the 20th, and what time does this all start on site in Hudson, Ohio?
It'll start at 10 o'clock on Friday morning. It'll go to 8 o'clock Friday night, and then again begin at 10 o'clock Saturday morning to 8 o'clock Saturday night. And then it will conclude at 12 o'clock on Sunday with them saying of the Mass.
Do you have any special military units National Guard, et cetera, that will be on site?
Yes, the Ohio National Guard from Stowe, Ohio will be there. We're also anticipating the Twinsburg Army Reserve being there. We're going to have a large support from the USAREC Command in Cleveland, which is the recruiting command for all Northern Ohio, will be there, along with the Coast Guard, and we're expecting additional support, hopefully, from the Navy, Marines, and Air Force.
So this is going to be a get-together, a gathering of Vietnam veterans and their families, and I want to stress that, too, and their families are invited. In fact, it's a good time to bring the kids, the grandkids, and get a chance to talk with other Vietnam veterans and let the kids find out what it was that you folks were doing. Isn't that right?
Yes, we really want this to be a welcome home. We want to be able to have these fellas be recognized for the contribution they made to our country. Really, that's never happened, and certainly it's never happened in the state of Ohio. This is the first rally that we're aware of to really welcome home those Vietnam vets. And as this is the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Vietnam War, we really are the official rally for this event. And as such, we encourage all veterans and their families to come down and, you know, have a day of reconciliation, recognition, and brotherhood to meet their fellow veterans and to really have a great time in celebration of that event.
Now, when the veterans come down by themselves, or they come down with a group, or they come down with their families, where are they going to stay?
Well, we have the Clarion Hotel right about probably 1,000 feet from our property.
Yeah, well, that's a country 1,000 feet, Bob. I know. You folks said, oh, it's a block away. Yeah, right. It's a nice long block. But excuse my interrupt, but it is, folks. It's very close. It is walkable. So you got the Clarion Inn and what else?
And there's also several hotels there, and there will be primitive camping available. We have a secured site right across from the Clarion Hotel, which is the Boston Hills Country Club, and so they'll be able to go there. They can go on our website, uswings.com, and look at the Vietnam Veterans Rally section, and it details all the different events of which we will be having.
Okay, uswings.com, folks. But there is one thing. When we're replaying this interview, it was only to be scheduled for one day, and the Sarge mentioned free food. Now, I know that's changed now that you've gone to 3 days. So what will be the food, water situation, camping, et cetera?
We're going to have the 356th Fighter Group, which is a restaurant by the Akron Canton Airport. We'll be there all 3 days, providing three different types of hamburgers, pulled pork, brats, things like that. And we will be having free hot dogs on Saturday. The 356 will be there all 3 days providing food, but we will have free hot dogs and drinks on Saturday throughout the day.
Okay, now the 356, that's going to be an enterprise, so you will be paying for those meals, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, it looks to me, I can't wait. It's 4 weeks. 4 weeks away, that's going to be. It's going to be a short 4 weeks. And, folks, I've been working with Bob Crudy now for the past 5 weeks. And we will be there. That's right. Veterans Radio will be broadcasting live from the rally Saturday morning, same time, 0900 hours Eastern Standard Time, directly from Hudson, Ohio. By the way, folks, that's exit 180. What's that address there, Bob?
It's 561 East Pine Hill Road. There will be remote parking at the Liberty Harley Davidson at the Clarion Inn and at the Boston Heights, and it's just a short walk right down to to our facility there. And we're very, very excited about it.
Folks that are camping, will they need to pre-register, or can they register the day that they come to the camping site?
No, there's no registering at anything, Bob. It's all free. Really, it's just a country club, and it's, as I said earlier, it is only primitive camping, so there isn't water showers or facilities or anything like that. There are several camping grounds in the area that if they go to their, I'm sure if they go to the web, they can. I believe it's a Good Sam that's in Streetsboro, if they want more refined facilities, which is probably about 2 miles away.
I'm excited about it, and I know our listeners will be excited about it. There will be a lot of events throughout the country on that day, on that weekend. This is just one of them from Michigan. Ann Arbor, Michigan, I believe it's 2.5 hours, exactly 180 miles, to get you to exit 180 on, what is that turnpike, Bob? What is that number?
The Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80.
Okay.
And the exit is the Boston Heights, Hudson Peninsula exit.
And that's exit 180, folks. Bob, we want to thank you very much for being on the air with us. And I'm sure we'll be talking again with our listeners. So you have a very successful pre-event. And we'll be talking soon. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks so much.
Well, there you have it. Okay, the weekend of May the 21st. Yes, plan to do something. And even if you weren't a Vietnam vet, come on down. I mean, look, you have to be in the war? No. Were you there during the service during the Vietnam time? Absolutely. Or if you just want to share camaraderie with fellow military, you want to get in to the whole military scene, wear your colors, absolutely. Wear your hat, wear your boots, wear your uniform, your field jacket, whatever. Oh, and by the way, U.S. Wings is having a special clothing line that's being produced right now for the particular rally and for Vietnam veterans. It's also commemorating the Vietnam anniversary, or I am a Vietnam vet. So find all that information. Go to uswings.com. uswings.com. You'll have a lot of fun with that website, folks. Yes, it's a, well, I won't even spoil it. You have to go to uswings.com. Click on all the prompts. It gets you to the rally. If you need any more information, you all may be able to contact us at veteransradio.net. We'll be right back after this very important message.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Okay, Bob Gould, back with you live on Veterans Radio. And I want to remind you, today's program was pre-recorded on the 5th of March with Gary Lilly, your host. Sergeant David Hack will be our guest from U.S. Wings. And I do want to say there's no Ustream today. And now, the interview.
Oh, thank you very much, Gary. Looking forward to the program today. I read the flyer. It's going to be very exciting.
It will be. It'll be Sarge Hack, wired together, going strong, successful. So this morning, we've got a program, like I said, titled Sarge Hack, Wired Together, Going Strong, Successful. This man was seriously wounded in Vietnam, but he had a pretty interesting life up to the point where he made it over there and has gone on to become an incredibly successful businessman. And I would like to this morning welcome Sarge Dave Hack. Good morning, Sarge. I told you guys, don't let me push buttons.
Good morning, Sarge.
Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you.
Okay. We got a picture of you. Pretty good looking guy, man. Where were you born?
I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, April 21st, 1940.
When you went to school there, you already had family that had been in the military.
My oldest brother and second to the oldest brother had served in Korea during the Korean War in the United States Marine Corps.
What did they do?
They were in aviation. My oldest brother was a pilot and still is, and my second oldest brother was in office work in the 1st Air Wing with the United States Marine Corps.
Okay. One of them is since deceased?
The third oldest brother is deceased. His name was Lloyd Hack.
Was he in the military also?
No, he wasn't. He died at a very young age. He died at 54 years of age. And
I'm sorry to hear that. I thought one of the ones that serving in Korea had died.
No, sir.
Okay.
Well, no, sir.
Before you served in Vietnam, before you served in the Army, you served in the Coast Guard. Tell us about that, and why did you join the Coast Guard?
I had entered the Coast Guard immediately after high school in 1957. Felt that the Coast Guard was extremely challenging, and I still feel that way today. And served 4 years in the Coast Guard. Two of the 4 years, stayed seasick. Was on ships. I had thought that the Coast Guard was, you know, protecting the coast, but I was misled a little bit there. The Coast Guard travels all over the world in big ships.
Yeah, Bill Thorne.
And it was a rude awakening.
One of the hosts on producers on Veterans Radio's father was in the Coast Guard in World War II. He served on an LST that was eventually hit by a kamikaze off of Okinawa. So they do range a little ways away from our coast.
They most certainly do.
When I was in the military, we used to joke about the Coast Guard saying you had to be 6 feet tall to reach your boat sunk so you could wade ashore.
And I've heard that joke before, too.
I'm going to tell you something. I have since learned about the Coast Guard, and they're brave. I mean, my gosh, they go out when everybody else is in trouble.
That is a certified fact. They really do.
So God bless the Coast Guard. You guys are incredible, and brave. Sarge, how did you, happened when you got out of the Coast Guard?
When I left the Coast Guard, I still liked the military. I most certainly enjoyed the time in the service, with the exception of spending a lot of time on the fantail, getting seasick. Fantail meaning the back of the ship.
Right.
And I went into private business, and that wasn't too successful for me.
What kind of business?
I owned a nightclub in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And ran that for, close to 4 years, about three years plus.
What years would those be?
1961 to 1964.
Okay, then I was never in it.
Yes, sir. And then I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and I was walking by this recruiting station, and the door was open, and this Army sergeant was sitting there, and he says, "Where are you going?" And I says, "I don't know." He says, "What are you doing?" And I says, "I don't know." And he says, "Come here, man. I want to talk to you."
He had a live one.
I'm serious. And so I went in, sat down, and he says, "How would you like to join the Army?" And I says, "You know, I really hadn't thought about it. But I did enjoy the military." And he says, "Look," he says, "how would you like to join the Army Rangers?" And I says, "You know, I've heard about those guys, and they don't go to sea, do they?" And he says, "No, they don't." And I says, "Well, you know, sign me up." I enlisted at that time and went to Fort Ord, California.
Tell me, how old were you at that time?
I was 24.
Okay. Well, you'd done a lot before you turned 24.
You betcha.
How old were you when you enlisted in the Coast Guard?
I was 17.
Okay. You were legal.
Yes, I was. And with my parents' permission. And I went from Fort Ord to Fort Benning, Georgia, to the 1st Ranger Battalion. And there they says, "Ha-ha, you were in the Coast Guard." And I says, "Yeah." And they says, "The Coast Guard runs small boats, don't they?" And I says, "Yes." And he says, "We're going to send you to Eglin Air Force Base at the Army Ranger Camp." And I says, "Great." And I says, "What about my Ranger training?" And he said, "Don't worry about it. We'll train you there." And I says, "Oh, okay. That sounds like a winner." And so I went to Eglin Air Force Base to the jungle school, and I was there for 2 years and running small boats and doing the training the Army Rangers and going into the back rivers and then coming in from the Gulf of Mexico for the LCU and LCVP and the landing crafts and the rubber rafts. But I never went to school, and I kept And I kept asking my first sergeant, I said, when are you guys going to send me to school? And he says, well, you're OJT. And I says, OJT? Yeah, on-the-job training. And I says, gotcha. I says, but I know that I need to go to school. And he said, don't worry about it. It's needs of the Army. Right now, we don't have time to send you to school. You're too busy. So I wrote a letter to the President of the United States at that time, Lyndon Baines Johnson, President Johnson. And I wrote a letter and I said, you know, I've been down here 2 years. These guys are working my butt off, you know, 24-7, and I need to go to school. And they says, well, forget it, you know. And I wrote this President of the United States and I says, you know, I want to go to school. The letter came back through the channels, and the first sergeant called me in, and he says, Hack, no one writes to the President of the United States in my command. He says, pack your bags, you're going to Newfoundland.
From Florida. Bad results, only not the ones you were looking for.
I says, get out of here. No way, Jose. So off I went to Newfoundland. I was up there for 6 months. From Newfoundland, I went to, I was going to Vietnam, and my stepfather had passed away, and they reassigned me in Louisville, Kentucky, at the AFES, Armed Forces Examining Station, on a compassionate reassignment for a year. And then I went to Vietnam in 1968, during Tet.
During Tet, and you ended up at Live Cave right off the bat?
I went to Cameron Bay first. We flew into Cameron Bay. When we landed in Cameron Bay, I said, wow, man, this is like Hawaii, you know? Everybody's running around with bathing suits and shower shoes, and you know, there was no, you know, action whatsoever. And I thought, if this is Vietnam, this is great. The next day, they told all those guys to stand out, stand in formation. And we were all lined up. They called our names out, and they called my name out, and they says, you're going to the 1st Infantry Division. And I says, oh, boy.
Big red one.
Big red one. And from there, I went to Zeon, the headquarters. And then from headquarters, after processing, I went to Lycae. And Lycae is the Michelin rubber plantation.
And, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. It was a Michelin rubber plantation, and it was a very hot zone. It was right in the Iron Triangle, and it was the headquarters for the 1st Infantry Division.
Ty, yes, sir. Keep a couple of those photographs of Lycae up there. You just showed the village itself, and now you've got a place called the Plaza.
Yes, sir.
This is like the shops of, what is it, of America, the big, you know, right? It's like a, sort of like a United States shopping plaza.
Well, not exactly. It was a little primitive over there. But, you know, I put that site up on our webpage at uswings.com. I did that several years ago to help people, and we have received such a tremendous positive response from that, because a lot of guys, for one reason or another, their pictures that they had, if they had any, were destroyed.
Right.
So I put those pictures up, like I said, so guys could look at that and say, oh, yeah, I can relate to that, no matter if they were at Lycae or any other part of Vietnam.
A village looked like a village up there.
Village is a village over there. And Vietnam was extremely primitive, and it has been a healing process for so many guys. And parents, too. Right.
We're going to compress your service in Vietnam. We want to show a couple of pictures of some hooches that were yours, and a couple of 122-millimeter rocket near misses, and then where you got a hit on your bunker. Tell us what your job was and those rockets.
Yeah, when I first went to Lycae, not exactly. When I first went to Zeon in processing, of course, they had saw that I was with the 1st Ranger Battalion. They sent me to Lycae as a combat career counselor, and my job was going around throughout the whole division, flying in, flying out, and different base camps, counseling guys as far as what jobs that they were doing. what job they wanted to do, if they wanted to stay in the armed forces, reenlisting them, if they wanted to go to school after they rotated back from Vietnam back to stateside, because things just didn't stop there. I was the counselor for the division headquarters as far as career counseling goes. And the CG, Major General Keith Ware, had heard about me. And he was a two-star general and a real neat guy, just a nice person. And he had heard about me and asked me to come down to his office at IK and be interviewed for a position. And I did. And the job was NCLIC protocol. I would take care of all of the protocol activities that occurred with the 1st Infantry Division. And in doing so, actually my job was being his aide and also being his bodyguard. And that was my job with the CG. I was his bodyguard for maybe about 3.5 months.
How was it that you were wounded? You were wounded quite hard.
I was wounded twice. The first time I was wounded by a 122-millimeter rocket. And that was at IK, and that was April the 10th, 1968. And then the second time I was wounded was Friday the 13th, September 1968. And I was on top of a armored personnel carrier. And the word for that particular vehicle is a track. And we received a direct hit from an RPG round.
What's the range of an RPG?
You know, it's not a great deal. I would say that 100 yards is really stretching it.
Really stretching it, yeah. So this is up close and personal.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like a 122 rocket.
No.
Not in the general vicinity. This was a guy.
No.
He had something personally against you. Did you
remember
where it was?
I don't know. You know, I always joked around and said someone said shut up, and I thought they said stand up. But you know, a lot of those guys fired those things from spider holes. You know, they would dig a foxhole, just enough room for them to stand in.
We got a half a minute left in this first segment.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Okay.
You were wounded. You were badly wounded. Do you remember anything during the time of your wounds?
No. I was wounded in my leg, my face, my back, my shoulder, and my chest. And I spent a year in the hospital, and then I stayed on medical hold for five years.
Were you unconscious?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're coming up on a break. You're listening to Sarge Heck, who is a grunt, well, you're not a grunt, but who was wounded in Vietnam and came back and made a very successful life.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Major Patrick Brady rescued 51 men in one day. Details after this.
Why are you so distant?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
You gonna get a job now or what?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Brady was flying medevac helicopters on his second tour in Vietnam when he volunteered to rescue two badly wounded South Vietnamese soldiers in enemy territory. When he arrived, the site was shrouded in fog. He descended slowly until he saw the tops of trees and then moved sideways to the landing site. Despite heavy enemy fire, he was able to locate the soldiers and evacuated them. Brady was called to another fogged-in area where American casualties lay close to enemy lines. He lowered his chopper through the fog and found a stream bed that led to the wounded. In all, he made 5 flights to rescue 39 GIs. On his third mission, the controls on his chopper were hit, but he managed to get home. He got a replacement chopper and returned. On his fourth mission, Brady watched a mine explode near the landing site, forcing another medevac to leave.
Brady went in and set his chopper in the skid marks of the other craft. Two crew members were carrying a stretcher to the chopper when one stepped on a mine. The explosion blew a hole in Brady's craft. He managed to get it off the ground and delivered the six severely wounded men to the aid station. He picked up another helicopter and kept flying. In all, he evacuated 51 men that day. 400 bullet holes were counted in the helicopters he flew that day. Brady went on to become a major general in the United States Army. He was awarded the Medal of Honor by President Nixon on October 9th, 1969.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Well, Veterans Radio live today, and I wanted to just let you know that you're listening to a pre-recorded interview that was pre-recorded on March the 5th with Sergeant David Hack of U.S. Wings. Let's go back to that right now.
And we're back on Veterans Radio talking to Sarge Hack. Did you ever know who the medic was that treated you?
No, I don't. I did meet a medic in Vietnam that, you know, I still remember his name. His name was Vaughn. And I had gotten bit by, blasted, or stung by a scorpion. And I went over to the tent, and I told him what had happened, and that my leg was starting to swell up. And he says, Sergeant Hack, let's play some tonk. And I says, play tonk? And he says, yeah. And so we put this 5-gallon gas can, you know, between us as a table, and we were sitting there playing. And I says, okay, Vaughn, what's going on? And he says, well, he says, it's like this, Sarge. He says, sometimes a guy gets bit by a scorpion, dies. Sometimes a guy gets bit by a scorpion, just gets real sick. He says, I just want to make sure that you're not going to die on me.
How old was he?
Vaughn? Let's see. I guess he's probably about 20, 21 years old.
Right.
I about lost it when he said that.
Well, this is what I was driving at.
Oh, okay.
Some medic who was 19, 20, 21 years old worked feverishly over you to save your life. And you don't know who he is.
No.
Now, I interviewed medics and corpsmen. You know, sometimes, there were 19, 20, 21-year-old guys.
Oh, yeah.
They did things that trauma surgeons don't do. And they did them out in the field, saving guys' lives by stuffing cigarette filters in them and, you know, putting cigarette wrappers over sucking chest wounds and that. And, you know, they get a little, they get very emotional at times.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to a real close friend of mine, you know, he was going through hard times, and I said, Doc, there are young men and women all around this country who would like to know who you are so they could thank you for saving their daddy's life.
Absolutely.
Yep. And so you are a prime example of it.
Yeah.
You have children, do you?
I do.
And wouldn't they love to know, be able to see that medic and thank him?
No doubt in my military mind. No question about it. The thing about it is, I woke up and I think it was Long Ben, because they medevaced me out, and I woke up there, and then from there they transported me to Japan. I was at the 106 hospital in Japan, and then after Japan they stabilized me, and I was there for a couple weeks or so. You know, I woke up in Japan. And I heard these guys talking in Japanese, and it was a TV, and I opened up my eyes, and it was Lloyd Bridges, and he was talking in Japanese. They were translating the TV show, you know,
right.
You know, Sea Hunt.
I remember that when I was on Okinawa, an hour.
I know. It freaked me out. And then from there, they medevaced me to they sent me to Fort Bragg. And now here's something that really, really drove home. I'm going to Fort Bragg. My home is Louisville, Kentucky. Fort Knox is right outside of Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm at Andrews Air Force Base, and they're refueling the hospital plane. And this colonel, he comes aboard the plane. And he says, any of you guys have any questions, concerns, or problems? And it's a hospital plane. And I raised my hand. And the colonel came back to me. And he says, what's your problem? And I says, well, I'm going to Fort Bragg. I'm going to be a long-term patient, no question in my mind, because I was pretty well tore up. And I says, you know, Fort Knox is right outside of Louisville, Kentucky. That's my home. You know, this colonel called the Pentagon and took me off the plane.
Really?
He did.
A colonel?
Put me, and put, yeah. And put me on a plane and sent me to Fort Knox, Kentucky. And as they're doing this, he reaches down, he shakes my hand, and he says, welcome home. And I tell you what, that to me stuck in my mind, and it will always be there for the rest of my life. He says, welcome home.
You know, first time I heard that was about 30 years later when I finally joined Vietnam Veterans of America.
Mm-hmm.
At my first meeting, and I think I know who it was, but I'm not sure. Guy said to me, welcome home, and he put a bear hug on me.
Yeah.
We happened to be standing next to a table, and I put my left hand on that table, and it was that and his bear hug that kept me from falling. I got so dizzy at hearing those words, and so emotional. I hadn't
extremely emotional. Extremely emotional.
Oh,
and what a meaning, because it's all sincere. It comes straight from the heart.
Right.
You know, what a feeling, you know. And, you know, I always remember that. I always carried that forward. And it was sincere. And this was this was in 1968. This is 2011. I still remember what the colonel looked like, still remember his words, still remember everything. And then, as I'm a patient there in Fort Knox, at Ireland Army Hospital, all those guys, you know, that became a healing process for us.
Right.
Because, you know, we joked around and we compared war stories and it helped us. It honestly helped us to go forward. And then these guys came around to my bed, and they came from the Department of the Army. And they says, Sergeant Hack, how would you like to be an Army recruiter? And I looked at him. I said, you guys are crazy. You know, me a recruiter? There is no way, Jose. And I said, get out of here. And this one colonel, he says, no. He says, we want you to become an Army recruiter. And from there on out, it was all history, because I did become an Army recruiter.
We want to see a picture of your Jeep up there. If you would put that up, please, Matt. your recruiting Jeep is enshrined in the museum?
At Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
And that's only one of two Jeeps in there, is it?
There's one. General Patton's Jeep is at Fort Knox, and my Jeep is at the Pratt Museum. What had happened, the 101st Airborne Division came to me, and they says, you know, Hack, we would like for you to recruit for the 101st Airborne Division, because we need men in Vietnam, bad. And I was the number one recruiter out of 6,000 Army recruiters throughout the nation. And I said, okay, I'll do the deal. And I'll put the extra effort in for you. And I says, but how about giving me a Jeep? And this captain says,
you're a negotiator right from the start.
Yeah, I did. This captain says, he says, you know, if we do this deal, it's got to be between us. So the captain brought the Jeep up from Fort Campbell, Kentucky. I met him in Columbus, Ohio. They signed the Jeep over to me, signed over the books, everything. I took the Jeep, took it to Akron, and then I painted it. Red, white, and blue, put mag wheels on it, wide tires, airborne on the front, airborne on the back, a white top. Did the whole 9 yards, really decked it out. And I used that Jeep for 3 years. Newsweek had done a story about me, and the commanding general heard about it, and he called the command sergeant major in, and he says, Sergeant Major, I would like to have a Jeep done up just like that. The command sergeant major looked at the CG, and he says, General, I got to tell you something. He says, what's that? He says, that's our Jeep. And the CG says, what? He says, that's our Jeep? And he says, yes, that is our Jeep. So he says, I want that Jeep down here now. So the CG called the USAREC CG, U.S. Army Recruiting Command CG, and says, what the blazes you guys doing with my Jeep? That's my Jeep. So anyway, to make the story short, the 101st Airborne Division CG took the Jeep back to Fort Campbell. They used it on tours for the 101st, and then afterwards they enshrined it into the Pratt Museum.
That's incredible. We're running out of time on this segment, too. Mm-hmm. You had something to do with Muhammad Ali when you were recruiting?
I gave him the test. I gave Cassius Clay the Armed Forces test when I was at AFES in Louisville, Kentucky on a compassion reassignment. Yes, sir.
We got a photograph up there now of you passing the word on to Top Sergeant. What was the word you were passing on?
That there was no way that he would ever have been drafted because he flunked the test.
And there's one of those stories behind the story.
Yes, sir.
There's another photograph of you swearing in a kid that volunteered to go to Vietnam.
Yes.
Now, I've got a personal reason for asking this. You ever think about these people that you recruited and what might have become of them?
After an awful lot of research of every person that I enlisted into the armed forces, 99.9 went into the Army and received trades. I lost only one applicant, and his name was Lewis. And he was killed in his sleep by a mortar round.
We're talking to Dave Hack, Wired Together, going strong, successful. And when we get back, we're going to talk about his business and then a remarkable thing that he is doing on his own. We'll be right back.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.
Are you going to the rally? The rally on May the 20th to the 22nd. The rally that's going to be welcoming home all Vietnam veterans, the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Vietnam War. Well, the Clarion Inn of Hudson, Ohio, will be the official lodging for the rally. Hey, if you're not going to camp, well, then why not stay at the Clarion Inn? Yay, it's about three-quarters of a mile from the rally site. It's a good hike right after breakfast. Anyway, you'll be able to park there. You'll be able to bring your family. There's a pool. There's billiards. There's food. Everything's available at the Clarion Inn, Hudson, Ohio, exit 180 off the Ohio Turnpike 80. And by the way, while you're there, ask for the special rally rate offered by the Clarion Inn. That's right. There's a special rate that will be offered to all rally personnel. And I urge all of you listeners to pre-register early. So we'll be seeing you there.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And now, back to the interview with Vietnam veteran Sergeant David D. Hack, that was pre-recorded March 5th.
The reason why I asked, why I said I had a personal reason for asking about, did you ever wonder, as Vietnam vets, we are invited in to talk to the high schools.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the teachers tell us that even after kids graduate, they ask if they can come back when the Vietnam veterans visit the class. I think we do a real good job. But then one day in the town of Chelsea, Michigan, we got word that a young boy had been killed over in Iraq, and it haunted me. Did we do anything that caused him to enlist? You know, it's a good thing if we did, but it's something that weighs on me. And you said you actually researched all the people that you recruited.
Yes, I did.
Astounding, astounding. And I guess you had, and you know how the one died, that killed by a mortar.
Yes, I did. And like I said, the young man's name was Lewis, and I remember him very, very well. And I researched it, and he was killed in his sleep. He was with the 9th Infantry Division, and he was in personnel, and a mortar round came through the roof and killed him in his sleep. He was a good person, and the other men that enlisted with him all came back home and to Akron, Ohio. The neat thing about being a recruiter at that time, in my life, is that, you know, I gave it 110%, and I was extremely proud to serve my country. I was extremely proud of the men that I enlisted and women. And like I said, there were over 6,000 Army recruiters, and I was the nation's number one recruiter for 4 straight years. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and to me, I felt that by giving my all for my country and helping other men, that was the bottom line. Just plain and simple. It isn't. People misunderstand their true meaning. It really isn't what you do for yourself. It's what you do for others. That's what counts. You know, it's what you do for others. And that's the way I've led my life, my 70 years. And by golly, that's the way it's going to be all the way up until the time that I punch out. It's what I can do for others.
And we're going to have a good example of that we're going to be talking about in a minute. And we're only going to be able to spend about a minute on U.S. Wings. Tell us about your business.
Our business is uswings.com. And we were the first company to go on the Internet. I'm a government contractor. I also sell to the civilians. We're a bomber jacket manufacturer. We also sell Hawaiian shirts. But we do all kind of neat stuff. And we help an awful lot of people. We help a lot of Vietnam vets, and we reach out and do anything and everything that we can for our fellow man.
And how many hits do you get on your website?
Over a million a month.
A million a month.
Over a million a month.
How many? How do you accomplish that?
Well, by being on the internet for, you know, since 1986, 1994 when we first really formed our website, by owning over 200 URLs and all of those 200 URLs pointing to uswings.com. And by being so well known and so well respected, a lot of people know about us.
It's astounding. That's how I discovered you. I don't remember exactly what I was looking for, but I went to ended up at uswings.com, and I saw the story on it, and I said, I got to talk to this guy. called you from my mobile phone and sitting in my car in a parking lot, and that's where we talked.
And, well, I'm glad you did. If you look on our website, you'll see a picture of myself and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen. And if you look on our website, you'll see me with a picture of our General Wagner, which is the Lieutenant General in charge of Special Forces and the United States Army Rangers. You know, that kind of association most certainly does not hurt U.S. Wings.
No.
It most certainly doesn't.
How many of your jackets do you sell?
Well, tens of thousands, because we supply all the armed forces. We supply the Coast Guard, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force. We also reach out and supply the New Zealand Air Force and the Australian Air Force. And we do about 99% of all the aviation movies, plus Civil Air Patrol, and the list just goes on.
And I see that we're showing one hand-painted Flying Tigers on the back of it. You've got somebody that actually hand-paints them for you.
Yes, sir. Our Flying Tigers jacket was worn by Dick Rossi, just passed away. Dick was the president of Flying Tigers, and he and Chanute formed the Flying Tigers, and that jacket is in the museum over in China, in the Flying Tigers Museum.
Really? Really? That's all right. Now tell us what you're doing for the vets with all your success. Something coming up.
We have a rally coming up the 21st of May, and it's the 50th anniversary rally, and
this is
Vietnam, I'm sorry.
Of the beginning of the Vietnam War.
Of beginning of Vietnam, 1961, and we're kicking it off here in Hudson, Ohio. If you go to our website and look at, under U.S. Wings, and then go to the Vietnam rally, it tells all about it. And we're extremely excited about it. And like I said, it's a kickoff for it. And it's something that is totally free. And it's open to the whole entire world.
Now, there's two big reunions that take place for Vietnam vets. One in Kokomo, Indiana, and one in Melbourne, Florida. There might be over some over on the West Coast, but I've never heard of them, if there are. They are, you pay to get in at, or you pay for camping at least at Kokomo, and it's 20 acres, and it is filled up with campsites. You've got 27 acres, and you're opening it up.
Yes, sir, free.
And vendors.
Vendors is free.
Food.
Free.
Non-alcoholic beverages.
Pass on that. We do not drink here. We do not smoke here.
No, I said non-alcoholic beverages.
Right.
pass on. Well, you are supplying beverages?
We are.
Yep. Free.
Free.
I asked you, how long can somebody stay camped there? Because a lot of people will come in and set up camps. It looks like the Crusades with all the flags flying.
They can stay here a week.
1 week. So get there early. Camp out, be with your brothers and your sisters.
You betcha.
What a time. What a time.
It's
easy to find your place.
It's extremely easy because we're right on the Ohio Turnpike. There's a map there. We're right between Akron, Ohio, and Cleveland. You can come in from Michigan straight on the Turnpike. You can come in from New York straight on the Turnpike. Or you can fly in at the Cleveland Hopkins Airport, or you can fly in at the Akron Canton. And we even have a private airport here over at Kent State and that will accommodate jets.
And so it's going to be easy for anybody to get to. You are well positioned. And
you betcha.
I have never heard of anybody doing this and flipping the whole bill.
We are definitely flipping the whole entire bill.
All right, we got about 30 seconds left for you. Is there anything that you wanted to say that we didn't cover, Sarge?
I'd like to say something to all the veterans, no matter what branch of service, no matter what conflict or war, welcome home.
Well, thank you very much, Gary, and thank you very much, Sarge. So, we just got a few minutes left before the conclusion of our program today, and on the line with me is my partner, Mr. Gary Lilly. Gary, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. It's great to be a partner in Veterans Radio with Bob Gould and Dale Thornberry, and I just got pumped up listening to you talking to Bob Crudy this morning and to re-listening to that interview. Sarge Heck is an amazing person.
What an amazing, exactly. Mike.
And he's even nicer than he sounds on the in the interview when you're with him in person.
Well, I could imagine if you were a youngster and you're sitting across a table from him thinking about going in the Army and what his demeanor must have been.
You know, a sergeant is a sergeant. So when he was a sergeant, I'm sure that he had command of things. But I don't think he was the kind of a sergeant that was brutal. You and I have both met both sides of the E4, E5, E6 ranks. But I got a feeling that he was a fair but firm person. That reunion, I've been to the Kokomo reunion a number of times, and I've not been to Melbourne. I've always wanted to go there. The what they're talking about is a Kokomo or a Melbourne-style reunion. They call it a rally. And for all of you people that have been to one, gee, so Pete, here's one for the beginning of summer. Just a great opportunity for brotherhood, sisterhood. Take the families, the camping. What I love the most about the Kokomo is just wandering through the campsites. All those fires going, and I'll never forget one 82nd Airborne group had a great big, huge cast iron pot of beans. And I don't know if it was bean soup or beans, but it was, you know, kind of a in between. And invite anybody passing by that looked at them, you know, to want some beans, come on over. So I sat down, I got some beans from them, and sat down, and we chatted about the 82nd Airborne stuff, and they asked me about CB stuff. And then after a while, I wandered on, and, geez, there was Native American groups there. There were, you know, every unit, it seems, has a group reunion. The Dusters, you know, those are those twin 40-millimeter self-propelled guns. The Quad 50s, they'd have, you know, 101st Airborne, Big Red One.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gary, it sounds exciting, and we've only got 12 seconds, so I'm going to have to cut you loose, and I'm going to go to the coffee shop. So, Gary, take care. You're all listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be back next week. You are dismissed.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio Network.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.